Hey, everybody. Before we get into the show, we have a major, earth-shattering, massive announcement. Nikki?
Yes, it is that time again, Pete Wright. Our monthly planning membership is open for enrollment. GPS stands for Guided Planning Sessions, if you don't know already. We've worked really hard here at Take Control ADHD to provide you with a service that not only gives you ideas and strategies on how to plan your day and your week, but it also provides time and space for you to do the work and not just by yourself, but with others who understand and support you. We meet every Monday and Thursday, and there are three different sessions for each day that you're invited to attend. We are dedicated to making this membership to be one that is transformative in the way you think about planning and taking control of your time and schedule. There are so many benefits to the GPS membership, so please be sure to visit our website at takecontroladhd.com/GPS. Enrollment is open now through May 8th. Thank you for your time and attention, and I hope to see you soon.
On with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Taking Control, the ADHD podcast on True Story FM. I'm Pete Wright, and I'm right here with Nikki Kinzer.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Pete Wright.
Nikki, hi. Fancy seeing you here on the podcast.
I know.
Oh, dear.
Feels like home.
It feels like home. Happy ADHD Awareness Month.
Yes, October.
Are you sufficiently aware of ADHD this month?
I am so aware, and I am so excited to bring the awareness into the world.
So aware. And I'm most excited for a thing that's happening later in the month. And we haven't done a whole lot of work for it.
I feel so informed now because I watched game.
Yeah.
It was so helpful, and I'm so excited about this.
We're just going to I don't remember exactly when we're going to do it for real for live, but I think it's going to be a massive team take control tabletop D&D game that is going to be DM'd by Melissa, who is amazing and has done an amazing amount of work all of us prepared
I feel prepared.
Characters and all that stuff. I can't believe it. Are you really?
Yes. Like you just saying that, I feel like I now understand what you're talking about. You know, because before I actually saw the game be played, I really did not understand it. I had
just
something in my mind that was just so weird and dark. And I just kept seeing dragons because Dungeons and Dragons. So I kept seeing dragons in dark places. But it is not what I expected at all, and I'm so excited about it.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. So that's coming at the end of the month. It's one of the ways we're going to celebrate ADHD Awareness Month, Team ADHD, we're going to do for
We're going to make it fun.
The members, we're going to make it fun. That's right. We're going to certainly make it distracted. I am very excited. I have not picked my character yet, but I understand
either.
Some of us have. I know Marion is already on board.
Yes.
I think Marion's a sorcerer. That should be very exciting.
I thought she was like a musician or something.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what that
magic
is?
User.
Okay, so
there are
still
lots of different magic users. You're still learning, but it's okay. You're excited. That's what
I am.
Counts.
I'm so excited.
That's what counts. Okay, so we're going to do that. Today, we are continuing our conversations throughout ADHD Awareness Month, and today we're talking about what normal acceptance looks like in the neurodiverse community. Before we dig in, head over to takecontroladhd.com. Get to know us a little bit better. You can listen to the show right there on the website or subscribe to our mailing list, and we will send you an email each time a new episode is released. You can connect with us on Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest, takecontroladhd. But to really connect with us, join us in our ADHD Discord community. It's super easy to jump right into the general community chat channel. Just visit takecontroladhd.com/Discord, and you'll be whisked over to the public invitation and login page. But if you're looking for a little bit more, you know what comes next. Head over to Patreon. Patreon is listener-supported podcasting. Just visit patreon.com/theADHDpodcast, sign up, and for a few bucks a month, you will continue to support this show. Once you're a patron at the deluxe level or higher, though, you get lots of super secret Discord channels. You get access to the podcast live stream where you can come hear Nikki and I talk about deeply personal family things, trauma. For 20 minutes before we start recording a show. You can hear also, we also have a regular entertainment clutch, which we didn't talk about today. No, we'll have to catch up next week. Anyhow, it is, it's lots of good fun. Hang out, ask guest questions in our, chat right along with the show. So patreon.com/theADHDpodcast. Lots of great stuff going on there and more coming. All right, Nikki, let's do it. One of the things, so I got behind on my editing, Nikki, because of my travels.
Yes.
And one of the, so I just edited the show that's going to go live, and it's the show with Cody Lukens, where Cody was talking about Stimara and the Stigmags fidget that he and his team have created.
Yes.
Which are fantastic.
Yes, absolutely.
And one of the things that we talked about is a non-trivial part of that conversation was on the stigma.
It's true.
That comes with being an adult and having things like fidgets, having things that are stereotypically associated with ADHD, right? Mm-hmm. And the impact that having a some sort of a STEM tool does to what people think about you, how they judge you in the workplace as an adult or in family situations or anything like that. And I've been just really thinking a lot about that, mm-hmm. That what happens when there is a massive gap between how we see ourselves and how we are seen.
Well, what comes to my mind right off the bat is that how we see ourselves is a much harsher view than what people are actually seeing.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, it's really easy with ADHD and with anxiety to think they think the worst, or I mm-hmm. must really stand out. Right? Because I feel different. Mm-hmm. You don't look any different, but you feel different than everybody else. And so I must really stand out. So I think there is a huge gap there because you're talking about perception, right? Of yeah. what people are how they see you.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I think it can go the other way too, though, right? Mm-hmm. And especially when I think about our community, because there are a lot of people in our community who truly embrace the things that they need to keep their brains active. And mm-hmm. I like to think I'm one of them. And so I have lots of tools and fidgets around. I still have my Shocktato when I need a little bit of punishment. And so what's important there is that when I feel like I have embraced a confidence in the way my brain works, and then I am judged negatively accordingly. That's the other direction, right? That's the other side of that
particular
stigma.
And how do you know that you've
stigma.
Been judged? Can you think of a specific time where that's you felt like this?
That's a great question. Oh my gosh, that's a great question. Because all of a sudden I'm realizing maybe I haven't been. Maybe I haven't been judged at all. And maybe I am just perceiving, like I'm being, maybe it's RSD, maybe it's whatever it is, I'm being a reactionary to what I think someone would judge me for having a spinner or some sort of a fidget. In my head.
Or, so we were talking before we got onto the show. I know.
Yeah.
See? Done. We're done. The show's done.
I know.
Because now we got Pete Wright thinking.
That's right.
it's like, it's wait a minute.
Corner,
did she
but eventually
catch
we get
me
there.
With something?
I think I just got caught.
I think yeah. I got caught. Yeah. But no, it's interesting because before we recorded, I was talking about a comment that was received and it wasn't positive. And if we were to use that one comment and say, this is how everybody thinks of us. This is what we are known for. We would not have a show anymore because of that one person.
Yeah. Right. That one person is a hate torpedo.
Right. So first of all, you can't even think of the person that may have said that. But even if you could, even if you said, no, I can think about it. It's, you're still judging this whole thing off of just one situation, which is really unfair.
Yeah. Right.
Because we're not going to close our show down for one comment. That's stupid.
No.
Not going to happen.
There are other podcasts. Good luck. Find another
yeah.
podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. But so, yeah, I think the gap is big. And I think that it starts internally on
what we think of ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the trick is that I, what you caught me doing, jeez, what you caught me doing is creating my own gap.
Yeah.
That's it. I created the gap. I created the gap, and it's a gap I think about all the time. But until I put my name on it just now, that I'm the guy on the other side of that gap. It's like Carl Jung said, right? I think it was Carl Jung. Or maybe it was Freud. Everyone in your dreams is a representation of you, right? Mm. You may think you're having a sex dream about having sex with your boss, but really you're having sex with yourself, is what I think Freud would say. And okay. and so you got to figure out, like, what is it that is my recent stress anxiety dream is that I am like, I'm having a comfortable sleep, and then someone wants to sleep so close to me that they're sleeping on my head to the point that I can't breathe. Whether it's my wife or my dog or my cat or my kids, they pile in bed until I can't breathe. And that's like, it's kind of a textbook overwhelm dream.
right.
I am rudderless, directionless, and have too much to do.
Right.
But the truth is that that's why the anxiety is a representation of my inner self, being mm-hmm. aware of the fact that I'm overwhelmed and I might as well be sleeping on my own face mm-hmm. and not being able to breathe. And so that, I think, is a really interesting perspective, because it allows me to take ownership of that self-inflicted small T trauma, right? Like,
we
it allows
to
me
take
to take
it-
ownership of the gap. Yeah.
Ownership of the gap. And it was just one question that I asked. So we need to keep asking ourselves those questions. So when we start feeling like we're being judged, okay, wait a minute. From who? Where? Yeah. How?
That's not to say,
right? Like,
well, and so I turn it back to you, because you work with a lot of people who come to you with that, right? I work out of my house. I don't have a lot of people who can see that I'm holding a fidget spinner right now. Like, they can't see that I fidget podcast, right?
Right.
But what I am most interested in is when people really are judged. Right? Like, there are places where I'm sure people come to you in a coaching arrangement and say, look, I'm at a university, I'm at work, I'm at where, like, I'm really struggling with that. How can you help me
right.
figure out what normal is on the spectrum?
Right. It's advocation, I think, is the biggest thing, is you have to advocate for yourself. You have to think through what it is that you need in that circumstance. So this would be my guidance for someone. Like, so for example, let's say that someone is on a review or one of those, like, for work, they're on a review thing, like a plan.
Like an annual review or
they have to, like,
some sort of,
not an annual review, but like you have to do these things in the
performance plan.
Right. So let's say you come in with a performance plan and this is what they are expecting. And this has happened, right, for me with my clients before. Mm-hmm. This is what they need to have done before this date. So what we're working through is, okay, what do you need? What kind of resources do you need? What kind of accommodations or help do you need to get to those endpoints? And that's where you have to go back to the boss or the supervisor and say, you know, this is where I need help to make these goals, so that you come in with a solution. I think that you can't expect an employer or a professor or any kind of situation like that to know what you need. You have to tell them what you need. And you don't necessarily have to tell them that you have ADHD, but it, you know, in a school setting, you certainly can, because you're so protected, you know, that you can ask for those reasonable accommodations and go through your student services and, you know, hopefully they're on your side to make that happen. In work, it's a little bit harder. But I think it's going in with the information, really thinking it through about what you need and what's going to support you, and not going in like blaming your ADHD or, you know, but really trying to work with the person on how can I be supported. That's in a really good situation, if you have like nice people who are supporting you. If that's not the case, I mean, then, you know, you still have to advocate. And maybe it's not the right job, right? We've had those conversations before too, that we look at this performance plan and we look at the expectations and the person is just like, oh, this is awful. I don't want to do this work. I hate this. I hate this company. This is unfair. Then the question might be, is this the right job for you? And maybe now is a good time to look for a new one.
How do you get into that space? How does advocacy derive from expectation, right? So I have an expectation about what normal should be in the way I'm treated, in the way I am communicated with, in all of that. How do I find a way to communicate that when I am uncertain about, you know, my role as an authority to advocate for myself?
I think it's practice. I think it's talking to other people about it. I think it's having conversations around it, building that confidence, even role playing with your spouse or your partner about, hey, I want to talk to my boss about getting some extra support. Let's role play this. Let's, you know, does this sound like, you know, you've got to do some of your research and then you've got to kind of practice it and figure out what you want to say and have it be thoughtful. And even if you're not confident, I think this is the time where you kind of have to pretend to be. And, you know, it's so hard to answer that question, Pete, because it could be a different response depending on what the situation is and who you're talking to, right? Yeah. Some bosses are so supportive. Some companies are very supportive. I mean, I've had people whose companies pay for their coaching because they really want them to do well. And then I've had, you know, some people who've come to me and they've lost their jobs, you know, because they didn't perform the way that they thought they should. And that's a hard hit to take, you know, when you get fired or let go. So, but I do think there is something about verbally processing and talking about it. I think there's something there to say, hey, let's in our community, in Discord, let's have a chat about like, how can we advocate for ourselves and have the community, because we talk about community, have the community come together, because one person has probably dealt with this, you know, with a situation that they can share. And then another person can share their situation. And then now you've got this like whole Zoom room full of knowledge and support that maybe help you guide. So now that we're talking about it, I think community is a huge resource to figure out.
And I think you said it earlier, there's a massive education component to this too, right? Because if you, I'm taking at work or at school, like we have an HR role at work. There is a very, like the window is all but closed for explicit discrimination against ADHD, right? It's closed, but implicit discrimination exists. And that's the one where there are massive loopholes, and we've all experienced it in some way, shape, or form, whether we're dealing with it as parents with our kids who are not getting the services they need for some reason or another that is loopholed. That I think that's the important part, is to figure out how to define as a community what normal should look like for those broader communities or micro communities where we exist, and help educate them on you know, what that is. I look at my, you know, at my kids' generation and what they have done at the high school in terms of normalizing pronouns, right? Which is a thing that still breaks my brain, only because of habit. I'm trying so hard, and I think I'm getting better. I have been told I'm getting better. But if we can normalize around changing language over the course of a few years, then for sure we can normalize these same micro communities around seeing neurodiversity as a spectrum as normal.
Right, because that just drives me crazy when we talk about normal, right? I mean, even like, I'm reading the notes and it says creating a new normal for acceptance of the neurodiverse community. And oh, that just stings when I see that, because why is somebody that is neurodiverse not normal? I don't get that.
Right.
Like that
that's
just
why
makes
normal
me mad.
Has to be, I know, yeah. Normal has to be representative of the whole
of
spectrum.
Everything.
When
everyone.
You're normal, yeah. It means you exist, right?
Right?
That
you're
is
human.
Normal.
You're human, yeah. And we're yeah. all human. And
yes,
that's the part.
I was
just
scanning one of the projects
mad.
I was doing as an aside, and forgive my little aside. One of the projects that I was doing last week was scanning a bunch of news clippings from a very important story that my dad covered when he was still alive, when he was a Cub crime journalist, right? Mm-hmm. And he had worked on this story for a long time, and he cut out all the clippings from all the newspapers. And I was reading some of these newspapers, and Nikki, I could not believe how far we've come. There are yeah. there are headlines that I have scanned that says new hospital for the retarded showing
oh
up.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
That's like 72 point bold headline on the front page of the newspaper.
Wow.
And so the kind of language that we have actually shed as normal is it's amazing. We've done really hard things. So I get a little bit fired up when we find ourselves incapable to move a discussion forward around neurodiversity, the spectrum, as anormal or abnormal.
Yeah,
right?
It just,
like that there is an abnormal end
it
to
makes
it. There
me
is
crazy.
Not an abnormal end.
Well, and that's the thing yeah. is when you're advocating for yourself, you know, all you're doing is saying, hey, this is my weakness. These are my strengths. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm really good at. This is going to take me longer. This is just who I yeah. am. This isn't, you know, so the company, like they have to adjust to you. Like, is this a job that's right for you? If you're not the right employee for them, it's not a good match. You move on and you get something different because it's life's too short to be yeah. in a company that is looking at you as not normal. I mean, that's crazy because we're all... Yeah. We all have weaknesses and strengths and what we bring to our jobs. And so
yes.
saying that, hey, I told you this was going to be next week. It's going to take a little bit longer. Like that shouldn't be judged as not being normal.
Right.
You know, it just,
right.
yeah, it makes me crazy. And I think that it's so upsetting too, that we can't just go and scream and say, I have ADHD. And yeah. this is what I need. And, but at the same time, I know that there's this wall that's still stopping people from doing that because there is still this discrimination out there and yeah. judgment. And, but going back to our original question, do we know that that's true? And where are we feeling that? And where is that coming from? So digging in a little bit deeper, there's so many layers to this. So,
yeah. Well, there really are. And I think those are the two big pieces for me. And the first one is obviously, what is my role in creating a perception of judgment?
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if we ask ourselves that question in a time of peace when we're not feeling immediately judged, mm-hmm. I'll say specifically, how many of us could look in the mirror and say, okay, I'm creating the reaction as if I am judged when the evidence to being judged is thin.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That may be a thing. I don't know if it's a thing. But I wonder if it's a thing for me, I'll bet it's a thing for others.
Yeah. And I was just thinking too, like if there is real judgment there,
mm-hmm.
then you also have to figure out how do you work with that? How do you deal yeah. with that? You know, and that's a whole nother layering of conversation of being confident with who you are, even if somebody says something bad. And I go back to that comment, mm-hmm. you know, we believe in our podcast. We love doing this. I can't let one comment go, you know, take me away from the work that we're doing.
Right.
So we have to right. kind of process that and deal with that in some way too, so that you can keep moving on and not get stuck in the RSD. Mm-hmm. So many layers to this. It's pretty profound.
I'm really curious how others deal with this and have dealt with it. We've heard stories over the years of doing this. And I think over 10 years we've been doing this show, and my hunch is that dialogue continues to evolve and continues to change, and as it should. And so please, you know, let's let's maybe start a little conversation in the, you know, in the Show Talk channel. If it spins up, we can continue it. We'll spin up another thread elsewhere. But what does it mean to create a new normal for you? How do you create normal as an adaptation to accepting all of you, all of you as a, in whatever way you consider yourself fluid? I love that. That word has become so important to me, fluid, because it represents so many different things than I think what many assume it to be than, in current dialogue. Fluid is everything. And the more we adapt to our own unique fluidity, the better we adapt to what is normal for us. I'm normal. Happy ADHD Awareness Month. Continue to be aware of your normal. Your normal. Maybe there's a shirt that comes out of this.
Yes.
We sure appreciate you, all of you pivoting with us. We appreciate you hanging out and thinking through some of these issues with us. Obviously, we don't have all the answers, and we are excited to explore your answers as well. Thanks for your time and attention. Don't forget, if you do have something to contribute, we hope you have something to contribute. Head over to the Show Talk channel on the Discord server or anywhere on the Discord server. You can get into the Discord server. Just start typing about it. We'd love to see you there. But we sure appreciate it if you decide to become a supporting member at the deluxe level or better. On behalf of Nikki Kinzer, I'm Pete Wright, and we'll see you right back here next week on Taking Control, the ADHD Podcast.